once again. Thank you for being here tonight. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 41. And I preached the first part of this message this morning. And I just want to preach the second part. And I'll finish it up with the Lord's help tonight. Amen. This morning I preached on remember to forget. Amen. Remember to forget. If you remember, as we began to get through the message, I said, before we remember to forget, we can't forget to remember. Amen. We've got to remember the goodness of God. There is a good memory where we remember where we came from, what God's done for us. We thank God for all those things. But there's some things we've got to leave in the past if we're going to be fruitful. We're going to talk about that here tonight. Genesis 41 and verse 50. Once again, this is the story of Joseph. And this is kind of just inserted here in verses 50 through 52 of chapter 41 of Genesis here. And it says, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he had made me forget all my toil, all my father's house. The name of the second called he Ephraim, for God had called me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." We talked this morning on what it is, and I just kind of threw it in there this morning. We talked about the whole sermon on forgetting the sins of our past. Amen. What it is to forget those sins and not live with that shame and that guilt of yesteryear. When your sins are underneath the blood, that's where you must leave those things. You've got to forget those things. Amen. You can't live by last year's failures. If you know that you've confessed them unto the Lord, you've got to live within the victory of the future and the present that God has given you. So tonight, with the Lord's help, we're going to talk about this. Remember this morning in my foundation, we talked about Joseph's two sons, the first one there named Manasseh, the Lord has called me to forget. And then we talked about Ephraim there, which means the Lord has made me fruitful. And tonight, with the Lord's help, we are going to focus more on the story of Joseph. And we're going to talk about forgetting the past in the sense of forgetting the past hurts and the past things that have traumatized us in our lives. You understand, even this morning's message, the foundation, all of it had its preparation for appreciating this text here of what it means to forget and what it means to be fruitful. We understand here when Joseph said these words that the Lord had caused me to forget, when he named his first son that, Manasseh, the Lord has caused me to forget all the toil of my father's household. And understand, he was not saying that he forgot that his father existed. He's not saying that he forgot that his brothers existed. As a matter of fact, if you read on there in the book of Genesis, he expresses that he desires to see them. But what he is talking about here is getting past that hurt, getting past the wounds and the afflictions that are within his spirit. And we understand this today because you know people and I know people who are in a prison, so to speak, and wounded by yesteryears or years ago, even maybe last year, something that happened to them in their life. Somebody had done them wrong, or somebody had said something about them. It could be from your childhood, something to do with your parents. It could be from just all these different things in this world, the things that always traumatize us and cause us, it's in our memory. We want to forget about it, but yet it's often there in our minds. We're often reminded, and the devil, of course, is faithful to remind us about those hurts and those pains of yesteryear. Like I said, we know those people, and you may be one here tonight who is so obsessed with disappointments and all that in the slights of their whole life that it has warped them, that they are greatly hindered in living a victorious life in Christ Jesus because they cannot get past what has happened in their past. I have met men, and I have met women, I have counseled them, and I'm not talking about here in general. So over the years, I have met those who have been traumatized by something in their life, and they could not get past it. They could not live a fruitful life in the present or in the future because they were still in a prison of yesterday. Now hear me today. We must understand this, that all, if we look at the story, that we cannot allow that to happen. We must allow God to heal us. Joseph could have been like that in his life. He had certainly had many disappointments. Instead, he let his past be in the past, and he went on with God. You hear that? He let his past be in the past, and he went on with God. And just as real tonight, you've got to learn to leave those things in the past, and you've got to go forward and do the will of God in your life. You can't live in the prison of It will destroy your emotions. It will wreak havoc on you. It would make you anemic spiritually. You cannot do it. You've got to go home and do the will of God in your life. We would understand the Apostle Paul knew about this great forgetting. I think that's what he was expressing to us at Philippians 3 and 13. And you know these verses, but he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus." Now understand, when Paul wrote that, he meant that he forgot those things which were behind. What exactly did he forget? We understand it wasn't that he forgot about his knowledge of the Bible. He didn't forget about Christian doctrine, because there in the book of Philippians, he begins to talk about his doctrine and what he's learned over the years. He didn't forget about God's grace or God's mercies, because he's been talking about them even in that same letter. Paul's forgetting was along the same line as Joseph's forgetting. He had to get over some things in order to go forward in life. Don't you think Paul had a memory? Maybe, if you would allow it, you remember at that time that he wreaked havoc on the church. Maybe he had the memory of those little children screaming as he took those mom and daddies to jail. Maybe Paul in his mind, you know, we know that Stephen was stoned, and there the cloak of Stephen was let it soul speed at that time and became Paul later. We understand there's memories there. When he got those letters to go to Damascus, no doubt he's already had some momentum built up. That's not the first time he's persecuted. He's done things. He's been a persecutor. He has wreaked havoc on that church. But there were some things he had to forget if he was going to go forward in life. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10, he spoke of some of these things, or some things that he suffered. He talked about troubles and hardships and distresses, beatings and imprisonments and riots, hard work, sleepless nights and hunger. Yet God had kept him through all of those. And he was not willing that he remembered some of those past hardships. Now, he could not let those things affect his present mission in his life. Yes. Could you imagine if all those things that happened to Paul would happen to us? Man, we get one shipwreck, we write a book about it. Come on. We'd be in the Christian bookstore with a title, "I Was Whipped and I Made It." Paul went through some things. But if he allowed those things to be that just the goal of his life, to be the great climax of his life, he would not have finished his great commission there that God had for his life. Even those things, those hardships, even though he still remembers that they're there, and he gleans those great lessons from those things, he cannot let those things affect him presently. I don't know about you, but I got beaten the rods a few times. I might not. It'd be very tempting to get down in life. Come on. We have trouble getting over childhood meetings. I'll never forget that whipping. But man, right now, if somebody would come to this church and would drag you out the streets and whip you and flog you and beat you and rod, I'm telling you, if you ain't careful, those hardships would become such a present hindrance to you, because you say they shouldn't have done that. But Paul, in these circumstances, he learned to forgive his past enemies, those who did that. He could not his present mission. He had to go on. Right. I'd say to you today, you've got to go on. Yeah. You've got to get, I know you, some of you had great hardships in your life. I don't diminish that one bit. But they're not the highlights and the climax of your life. The enemy would love you to think that. But you've got to leave it there. Look, like I said, you can still learn the lessons from the things and live in the victory of that. But you cannot let them deter your future mission. Another thing I believe Paul is talking about here is this. He had to forget past blessings and the sins. I think that Paul was unwilling to remember or live in the blessings of yesteryear if he was going to continue to attain the graces of God yet to come. What if Paul would have said, "Well, I went to the third heaven, I ain't doing nothing else. Come on. Well, I seen one miracle." I thought to myself before, I feel like in ministry over the years, I've seen a few good things. But man, what if nowadays a preacher sees one miracle, he wants to build a shrine around it, and that's it for the rest of his life. I'm telling you, that's not the will of God. The past blessings, the past goodness of God, yes, you can still live in that and thank God for that. But if Paul would sit there and just live in past victories and past blessings, it would be nothing to this day. Brothers and
got nowhere yet. Amen. Yeah. Like, I ain't apprehended nothing.
Let me, if one of you come to this church next Sunday and say, man, I was in third heaven, seen angels, I can't even describe to you what I saw. I'll say, tell me more about it. Amen. But that, you know, Paul wouldn't even let that be a highlight. You know, he talks about it, but he's not living there. There's still things to do in the future. And there's an illustration of that opposite of that attitude in the Old Testament story of God's leading Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land. God had provided everything that could possibly have need of in their journey. They had shade by day and light by night. They had water and manna. The time came, however, when the people ceased to look forward to the land God was giving them. And instead began to look back to the life in Egypt, when they begin to think of having, in the Bible they call the garlic and the leeks and the melons and the cucumbers and the onions. Notice this. Yes, they, you know what? If you were a slave in Egypt, I bet them things were a blessing. It was all right when you're in Egypt and you got melons and cucumbers and you're a slave, you know what I mean? And you got melons and cucumbers and leeks, you know what? They probably said, thank you, Lord. These are the best things in the world. But here it is now. God don't want them to live in that same mentality. Yes, that was a blessing yesteryear. But right now, Israel, there's manna coming from heaven. There's water coming out of a rock. You've got to learn to rejoice in that and go forward to the will of God. Begin to thank you that the manna's all right. Thank you, Lord, for the water. But man, I wish I had this blessing from years ago. You can't live there. You cannot stop there. They had lost their appetite for the things that God were doing then. The people were dissatisfied and began to hunger for past blessings. And if this does not mean that we are not to be thankful for past blessings, thank God for it. But we understand this. We've got to go forward. And unfortunately, there's always been leaking garlic Christians in the church. You ever heard somebody say something like this? And it's not always wrong when they're saying it, but sometimes it is. Well, yesteryear, God did this. Thank the Lord for it. What about now and tomorrow? I'm not content with a soul that maybe the Lord allows us to see saved 5 years ago. Thank God. I praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
But I can't live there. I seen a soul 5 years ago. I'm doing nothing for Jesus now. I think a soul 5 years ago. I'm looking down and saying, I need a soul now.
Yeah.
Because I understand this. Yes, God blessed them, but I can't live there. So unfortunately, in the church, there's always been the leaks and garlic Christians. And you may be one of them. If you're constantly looking to the past, if your Christian testimony is only taken out of what God did maybe 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or if you're constantly talking about the good old days when God's blessings on your life seem great, then you are looking to the past and you can never move forward. Thank God. 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Now I'm glad I saw what God's doing now and tomorrow and 10 years up the road. Thank God for the future as well.
Thank you.
Man, it'd be tough for me if I just thank God for receiving the Holy Ghost, you know, 10 years ago. But I ain't felt the Holy Ghost since. It'd be pitiful. I've met some that bragged about their 9-year-old baptism of the Holy Ghost and they ain't spoken tongues in 20 years. I said, something wrong with you. What I mean is this, you need a freshness. You need a now. You need a present touch. You need a prayer for the Lord here tonight. You need a fresh anointing. You need a fresh experience. And I asked God even for me. I said, Lord, fill me again, Lord. Let me feel the freshness. Let me show up for the future. Not just what you did last year, but God, I want you to do more this year.
Amen.
I've already said, I think, in the Christmas service, you know, God's blessed us here in this church. We've seen some good things. I know you've seen good things for years. I don't admit it. I know Brother Glenn has seen a lot of good things. I've heard the testimony from many of you of how God's been good to this church. And you know what? God's been good to this church since I've been here. He's been good to me, but I'm not going to stop there.
Amen.
I need God to be good to us this year. I need somebody to get saved this year. We need somebody to get filled with the Holy Ghost this year.
Amen.
We need it this year. Thank God for last year, but I'm looking at this year as well. We must move forward. I don't want to be a leaps and a garlic type of Christian. I don't want to have that type of Christianity. And what did Paul, when Paul warned us against that, he would say to us tonight, look, past blessings are fine. We have received them from God's hands, and we should be thankful for them. We rejoice in everything that He has done in our lives, but now we must let those things lie in the past and move forward. There can be no progress without the proper forgetting of things of yesteryear. But then we come back to this great thing. What about past hurts? And we look here in our text, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he had made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. I want you to notice there the phrase, God has made me to forget. How can God make you do anything? You're a free will, free moral agent, right? You've got a will. You can make decisions. And Joseph uses this phrase here, God's made me forget. I'll tell you how God will make you forget something. When he blesses you so good that everything that's done you wrong, you can care less about it.
Amen.
Here Joseph is. Notice this. How did God make him forget? By blessing him. God's goodness will cause the pain to seem as if it is nothing. I'm telling you, there's things years ago that I was a part of that was traumatizing to my mind. I'll tell you things and stories that it took me a while to get over, that I consider today, God's been so good to me, and been so faithful to me, that his blessing and his goodness has caused me and made me to forget about the sting of yesterday, because God's been that good.
Right.
How many years has God been that good to you?
Amen.
And what you thought was a problem, man, God's blessed you so good it don't seem like a problem no more.
Right.
You know, they talked about you, you got frustrated then a little bit, and you're asking God to help you, but he's blessed you and elevated you above that so much that when they talked about you, it seems like empty words. When you feel like you were done wrong by a parent, a family member, or a spouse, whatever it was years ago, God's blessed you so good now that even though that's still in your mind and you wish it didn't happen that way, his goodness right now outweighs the destruction of yesteryear. That's how God will make you forget. He'll convict you by his goodness, and he'll convict you by his love. And I'll tell you, that's the greatest thing about serving the Lord. He is so convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, taste and see. Seeing is believing. If you don't believe it, won't you just dive on into his mercy and grace? And let him lather you down with his holiness and love and righteousness. And righteousness you didn't deserve. Amen. Goodness that you didn't deserve. His presence that you could have never earned. But when he washed through his blood, he justified you. And he was good to you. You know what? He causes me to forgive yesterday because God is so good today.
Amen.
Look at old Joseph here. He said he's made me forget. He's sitting on a throne. You know what he's thinking, man? This throne is so comfortable, I can't even imagine. What does it feel like to sit down in that old dark pit? Come on. Man, these grapes are so good. What that prison food even taste like? Come on.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you, these clothes are so nice. I don't even remember what Potiphar's, where that garment I left at Potiphar's house looked like. Amen. I'll tell you, because God will bless you that good. He'll give you something so nice, you can't even remember how dirty and disgusting your past life was, because he's that good to you. Notice this. God has made me forget. He said, all the toil of my father's house. I looked that word toil up and it wrote an amazing word. This is wearing effort, worry. It says, whether of body or mind. And then there was a word there. As I traced that Hebrew word even further, it said that word that is irksome. You ever heard somebody irk you? Look, I'm not talking bad about nobody. You're not here. You're right. But I had somebody, you ever heard somebody say, just irk your nerves a little bit. It is not that you're mad at them or you hate them. You love them. You just don't want to go on vacation with them. You know, you like them. But man, it ain't the person that you're going to have a slip over. You know, it's just not that. You know, you can say, man, I've heard people say, man, it just hurt me. And I say, well, you know, it's best for you to do. You know, if they get on your nerves that bad, you know, and sometimes, I don't care how Christian you are, there's some people that can't get on your nerves.
Yeah.
Come on. I make your nerves a lot better than mine. I've got some relatives, I don't love them all. But like I said, I don't want to go on vacation with them all. And some of them are, well, I don't want to go on vacation with me. And that's all right. I'll see you at Thanksgiving. We'll be turkey and smile. That's good. Notice here, he said, he's caused me to forget the irking, so to speak, of my father's house. Joseph could have harbored feelings. He remembered what it was to be hurt, and maybe for years, from the pit to the prison to the palace. Maybe he knew what it was to feel that irking, that gnawing, that biting of my brother's did this to me. I can't believe they've done that. Maybe he could hear in his mind the voice of Reuben, and maybe the voice of his other brothers, and every time he thought about it, it just irked his nerves because he didn't deserve none of this.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what? The Lord's made me forget. He's so good to me now.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff don't even irk me anymore.
Yeah.
All my help me here today, Lord Jesus. You know what some of you need to forget some of the things in your life. Somebody, a problem, a situation, a hurt, it hurts you every time you think about it. Amen. You don't even like seeing their number come up on your phone. You can't stand it. You can't, you just can't stand it. It's in your mind. It's in your being. And if you're here tonight, I'm telling you, God's so good and His blessings are so real. He can take the very hurt out of your hurt. And God's that good. And God is able. He can cause you to forget the pains and the toils yesterday.
Amen.
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 God could help you get over it.
Yeah.
Joseph could have harbored feelings, but he realized that God's in all this for good. Think about that. Some of the tragedies in your life are meant for good. That God somehow has great sovereignty, and we don't even understand it. I've watched Calvinists and Arminians. I've watched them wrestle for years over the sovereignty. Now nobody knows. We know this, that God's in control. And we have it revealed to us in His Word. But God can orchestrate and construct and He can do it. He's a great carpenter. Amen. He can twist. He can do whatever He needs to do. God can work things for your good even when you feel like it's bad.
That's right.
But sometimes, see, when I was a child, there were some things I didn't think was good for me. But the whole time, my father or my mother or a relative was working it for my good. And God does the same thing in your life. He may have grudges, but you understand grudges are like weeds in a garden or germs in the body that just don't belong there and don't malfunction. But notice the name of the second child here. His name of the second child. We come to Ephraim, whose name means to be fruitful. God is making fruitful. But when you study the Word, it means to be double fruitful. And there must have been times in Joseph's life when he thought that he would never, ever, ever be fruitful. When he's in poverty, house, you know, things are going pretty good. Things are going pretty bad. Come on. Here he is as a young man, around 17. He has a dream. He tells the dream. He's put in a pit. That ain't very fruitful, is it? Potiphar's house, I'm going to be honest. You know what? He probably don't feel like he even may be fruitful for a season there. He ends up in prison. He may have felt like he never was fruitful. He had tried to do good work for Potiphar, but it all came to nothing. Even his faithfulness in prison came to nothing. He would have never had an honorable position. He felt like that in his heart. I'll never amount to anything. This will just be a continual cycle in my life. He would never have a home. He would never have a wife. He would never have children. But God was training him for very great things in these circumstances. And of course, God was doing something in his life. God wasn't finished with him yet. Yes, Joseph, you are going to be fruitful.
Yeah.
You may be here tonight, and equally, you feel like, man, I'm not fruitful at all. Because of this, this, or that. When the day came when God transformed his circumstances and made him so fruitful that years later, when his age, I want you to hear this, this will amaze me in scripture today. When his aged father Jacob came to reflect on his son's remarkable life, it was Joseph's fruitfulness that particularly grabbed his attention. Here he is at the end of Jacob's life. He's prophesied to all of his children. And this is kind of an updated version here. But listen to what he told Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful guy. A fruitful vine, and he says it this way, near water or near a spring. It goes on to say, whose branches climb over the wall. You ever seen a vine climbing over the wall? Amen. Whose vine climbed over the wall, and it says his enemies with bitterness felt like archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of all these things. He says, you know what? Joseph is fruitful. He's much like that man there in Psalms chapter 1. It says this, it says, if you walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, he didn't do those things. But his delight was in the law of the Lord. And as a result, he became like a tree that was planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf will not wither. I'm telling you, Joseph became fruitful, but before he could ever become fruitful, guess what? He had to learn to forget. Want you to notice the order of his two sons' names. Manasseh, forget. Ephraim, fruitful. I'll say that again. If you're going to be fruitful, You must forget that that is not by chance that God does that. It is not the other way around. For no one can really be fruitful until the past is forgotten in its proper sense. If we are living in the past, whether it's the past of a confessed sin, hurt, suffering, or even old blessings that we talked about, we will never be completely fruitful in the present. We must let the past be the past, forgetting it and going with God. We must understand that. And another thing I want you to notice is this. Notice that Ephraim, being a Hebrew word, he was double fruitful. Think about that. If you learn to forget, as Joseph did, not only will you be fruitful, but you're going to be double fruitful. And I couldn't help but think of the words of Jesus in John 15 when he used the same image to predict the fruitful spiritual life for his disciples. He said that he had chosen them, and just as well as we know that God chose Joseph, that he would prune their branches as God we know pruned the life of Joseph during the years of his suffering, that he would nevertheless keep them close to him so they would remain in him in all circumstances. And God kept Joseph during the years of his troubles, and the result was this. It says this, that he came, that they would bear fruit, but they would bear much fruit, and fruit that will last, and fruit that will remain, and that's what God wants in your life. God's not interested in our temporary fruit in our lives, and we live that way. I want to help us all. That sometimes we're just content with a little fruit here and there. But just like in the life of Joseph, God will take out the pruning shears. You'll clip away. He may allow you to go through some things for the whole purpose of this, that you would be fruitful. Brothers and sisters, when we come to a close, my wife is ready to come to the piano. In this year, as we're moving forward, once again, this morning we talked about forgiving past sins. If you confess them, leave them there. Leave them under the blood. But today, tonight, we've got to leave those things that are in the past, and the past. Past hurts and pains and successes. And if you learn to forget them in their proper sense and move forward, guess what? You will be fruitful. I notice that when I preach a message like this, that some will get it and some will get it. I wish everybody got it all the time. And I'm not old to judge. I can't sit up here and say, you got it, you don't, you got it, you don't. It's not even my ability to do that. But I will tell you this, time will tell in each life. When I say God's going to make you fruitful, don't that mean God's going to give you a new car? He may allow you to get a new car. You know, that doesn't mean, I'm from North Carolina, that doesn't mean God's going to give you a new double wide. Don't mean it. It'd be nice if we all got a new double wide. Probably good for land and heaven to put one on, or find a piece of land and put one on. Amen. But it does mean this, God will bless you. It may be financially. Maybe in the health of your body. But sometimes we overlook the great quality of spirit that He works in us. I've been through a few things in life, not a lot. I've still got a lot to go through, I know. But there's some things in my life that didn't come with a financial blessing. It didn't come with a new car. It didn't come so much just what I thought it was going to be and the form I thought it was going to be. But I felt the quality of my spiritual life get better. I felt something morph inside of me, transform me in my understanding, and I began to learn more about the grace and the mercy of Jesus at that moment that I could have never learned. Joseph would have never appreciated that palace unless he went through that prison and that pit. He would have never appreciated it. And I will tell you this, that I believe this with all my heart. Ultimately, when we look into heaven, you would have never appreciated heaven unless you've been through what you've been through. You go to what you go through. Stand here for y'all in this church. This is what Jesus has in mind when he talks about being fruitful. Now you would think about Joseph here as we come to a close. You would think that all that Joseph had went through. I mean, he'd get more phone calls and probably more talk shows in America. Man, come tell us about your story, man. What you went through all that from rags to riches. From having a dream to seeing it fulfilled. Come on. You went from the pit to Potiphar to the prison to the palace. I mean, it's just all there. What a story! It'd be a bestseller. But also, if you think about Joseph, You would think somebody been through all that naturally, he'd be messed up for life. Man, that's a lot of stuff he went through. 13 years of suffering. He would need endless hours of therapy to process all that pain. Yet the Bible teaches something quite different. In all of it, Joseph saw a sovereign God who was at work. Was Joseph devastated at times? Sure. No doubt about it. At times he asked a few questions. He was devastated, but he was not destroyed. Devastated, but not destroyed. Was there pain and loneliness and heartache and despair at times? You best believe it. You best believe it. Yes, but Joseph found a better way to deal with his pain. He would forgive the injustice, trust a wise and sovereign God, and move ahead with his life. And as Paul said, I'll forgive those who put you behind. And then when Paul talks about reaching forth, he's not talking about just putting your hand out. He's talking about every muscle straining, veins in your neck. You're reaching. You ever notice there in races when they get to the finish line to do that last lunge? That's what Paul's talking about. He's lunging forward. Wouldn't it be wonderful in 2017 if we're all, we look at 2016-15 going back as far as you need to. It's all back there, but we're running and we're lunging into a new year with such focus, with such dedication, that this is going to be the most double fruitful, quadruple fruitful. I hope you reap a harvest. And if you don't reap it this year, stay faithful. It's coming. We're not in will do it for a new season. You won't reap anything. God, that's a promise from God and His word. Amen. Can we find a place to pray tonight? Just give God this few moments. And say, Lord, there's some things I need to forget. Lord, this morning we forgot sins. It's under the blood. And Lord, today I've got to forget some bitterness, some pain, some grudges, some horrible feelings. Got some wounds. I might even forget some successes. Some things that I feel like I have done that was good or commendable. And I know you're in there. God, it's a new year. I've got to move forward. Well, thank you for the soldiers of yesterday, the ministries of yesterday. God, you've been strengthened today and tomorrow.